You are listening to a Need10 Media podcast production.
Are you a high school junior, senior, or maybe you've already graduated from high school? Are you looking to gain confidence and clarity with your future? Discover your pathway? Trying to relieve the stress of wondering about your future and not wasting your time and money, how you're going to get there? When you become a part of Career Venture Academy community, you've shown leadership in charting your pathway beyond education. The process begins to build your future with purpose. When you bring that all together, you discover who you are and the work you're designed to do. Go to nateclaiberg.com/yourpath. nateclaiberg.com/yourpath. All right, Jayhawks on the move. Final fall edition as we wrap up the 2020 fall campaign. Cross country, football, volleyball, all wrapping things up here just recently. And as we look ahead to what and recount what took place during the fall season, let's start at the top. And Coach Sauer, let's get into August. And that's the frame I'm going to put you guys all in, even July, August. Because we got through it. You know, we didn't know we were going to get through the season. But just kind of recount from the thoughts, Tim, from the beginning to where you're sitting now and reflections you have on how things went.
Yeah, I would say one of the biggest things was when we were in June and July, what was the season going to look like? Were we going to have a modified season? Was it going to be something we started and then we had to pause? And or was this going to be something like track where we started and we never finished? So it was just a great opportunity when we could resume our football activities in July and, taking those proper precautions to make sure we could do what we need to do outside, whether it was that sanitizing equipment, making sure we're 6 foot away for X amount of minutes, and just being able to get through the whole season relatively with minor quarantine issues or if any at all, and be able to make it, football this year, everyone made it into the playoffs and be able to almost be full strength for the playoffs and put us in a position where we try to accomplish some of our team goals.
Erica, talk through your season. You guys are inside a little bit different as far as, one wondering about fans coming in to watch and having masks and cleaning the ball and that type of thing. It evolved as it went long, but an opportunity for a pretty good core group of seniors that you had to move through the season. Talk through that.
The season was just one of unknowns. You never know what you're going to get sort of thing. So we took it day by day. The seniors took it day by day, and we hoped for the best. And it's kind of all we could do.
Okay. Talk through those seniors and how you saw them step up this year to rally the team as a whole to push through the season.
I mean, as a whole, we had 6 seniors, so that's actually quite a few. Obviously, 5 players, and there was 1 manager who was very beneficial to us. We have never had a manager before, and that was a great thing to have. And I'm going to really push to do that again next year because Sarah did a wonderful job. But I would say that Bella really stepped up for us this year. She was somebody who hadn't really seen much playing time on the court in the last few years, and she stepped up and she became our 2nd best blocker on the team this year, so that was a really cool thing to see from her. Alexis really knows the game. She does really well leading her team and being the quarterback player of the team, just trying to keep everybody positive. You have Jamie. She was a great swinger for us, a good converter, along with Bobby and Kendra. They were all pretty good converters for us and scoring us points and finding the shots that were open. And then you have Callista in the back row. This was also her first year seeing a lot of court time as well. And she put up a lot of digs this year for us in middle back and really took control back there and was really positive enforcer in the back row.
And then Nick, as you got things going with cross country and obviously during quarantine, that's one thing a lot of the kids ran and ran and ran and ran, and it was beneficial for some of your crew. Talk through your season from August till the success you had last Saturday. Just reflect on that. Some gratitude in there, I'm sure.
Yeah, going through the summer, similar to everyone else, we had a few contingency plans going, what we thought maybe the season would become, when it was going to start. But luckily, with running, you don't have to have close contact with people if you don't want it. You can get it out on the roads by yourself, and we did have quite a few do that. Rolling into August, I guess the season did look a little different for us at times, where we started the season separated in pods. We had workout pods, we had running pods, we had lifting pods. We had, just like everyone else, we had seating charts throughout the bus. We would take up to two buses and a van, or two vans at times, to get to meets, just so that we could stay distance enough in case anyone did become positive while we were on the ride. We did have a couple of cases that we had to navigate through, just like all of our teams have, I think. But as the season went on, it really started to take shape for our kids. It took a little bit, I think, to understand that this season was going to happen, and we are in it right now, and it's time to get going. It was about midway through, after we ran at Waverly, did we start to see things kind of turn over for the kids and understand, like, yeah, we're going to have a season and let's get something out of this. But I think for the first couple few weeks, it was a little surprise, a little not sure how to take this. How seriously are we all taking this? Because there was a lot of question in the air what was going to happen. But yeah, then once that started, we kept the ball rolling and had a great year. So very exciting for the kids.
Talk through your seniors, and as they've come along, and I think because you're in your fifth year, and yes, the seniors are coming in that, you know, some of them that you both first met for the first time when they were in middle school as they were coming through. Talk through saying goodbye to those those boys and girls.
Yeah, I think actually all of our seniors this year were not, so I would have been here their eighth grade year. They did, none of them were running as seventh graders, I believe. Maybe Mara, but I'm not sure if Mara was. But starting with Mara, she's one of the only runners in Jessup history to compete at state all 4 years. She qualified as a freshman, as an individual, and then has been on the last three teams. Emily Trupto is one of the only other ones that I can find a record of. There's probably a guy or two in the 90s that would have, but not many. That's a really hard thing to do, and she's shown consistency throughout all these 4 years. Sam Yexley, she dropped, I think, up to almost 7 minutes in her 5K from freshman year to senior year. She's someone who just kept working. Was one of our top JV contributors this year. And that was it for the girls. The boys' side, we had got a lot of guys that started with us after their freshman year, after their eighth grade year. Casey Alfrink had a big year for us, running as our number four runner. Carson Donnelly had a great year when he was healthy. He battled with a calf injury most of the way. And then Jared Benson put in a lot of miles this summer. He got our mileage award for the summer, hitting all of his miles. He got a t-shirt. He did a great job. And then Creed Rollison, this was his first year out, and Creed did a nice job when he was there, and hard worker. So we had a good group of seniors this year.
Talk through as things evolved, is there things that you saw modified that we had to change because of pandemic or because of time, that you feel like you're going to keep going with some of those ways you coach, the way you practiced, or even the way you competed, either from your evaluation level or rules of the state came in?
I think for us, we'll probably keep the lifting pods. I like that. It was nice and easy. You don't have to have the kids wondering which rack they're going to go to. They already knew which group they're going to go lift with. Other than that, though, I'm not sure there was anything substantial as far as cross country goes.
And Erica, talk through yours. You weren't switching sides. How different was that? And is just other things like that, same type of question, that through volleyball, you'll see some things stay of how you do things or how things are played that you want to maybe integrate, or you'll say, thank God we don't have to do that again?
The switching sides wasn't awful because we love obviously being on our home side that we start on all the time. But it does give the refs a different look if you're on an opposing side. So when you do switch sides, the ref sees the setter differently. They see the hitters differently. They see the net a little bit differently. So I would love to be switching sides again for sure. The ball washing was another thing. I don't mind it, but it just takes away time in the game where we could just continue rolling through the entire thing. But, I mean, those were really just small, minimal things. And then having our bench players wearing masks, that wasn't a big deal either. Sure. Things that weren't really a big deal didn't really change the way we played.
Coach Sauer, you didn't get a chance to touch on your seniors, and you got a fair amount of them that really had your team used quite a bit here in your time, in your 3 years. Talk through that of who we're saying goodbye to and passing things on to the underclassmen.
Yeah, you're seeing some players that are leaving that have had some significant snaps. Individuals like Toby Sebeka, Trevor Kennett, Zach Friedley, Jesus Silva, Dawson Dykes, do some really good things for us this year, whether it's their first year playing or first year having significant varsity reps for us. And then you're missing, people like Jarrett Delagardelle, Brody Kresser, Bryce Glider, Tanner Cole, Jace Pilcher, and Brady Dahl. All those individuals providing, setting, breaking new records for us. Playing both ways for us. And some of those guys I just briefly mentioned had a lot of snaps, playing a lot as sophomores and hardly coming off the fields on Friday nights. So we're going to miss some guys with a boatload of snaps, but it's just a chance for our young guys to be able to step up into that role.
Talk through the changes, and you probably had the most impact just because of contact sport that it is, of extended sidelines and things like that, and even the way the playoffs were formatted. Talk through some of the pros and cons and some things you may see stick and some things that, again, you'd like to see just move away from.
Yeah, so my 2 cents, that's worth 1 cent. I would say
– Oh, I'd give you 3 or 4 cents on that.
And I would say the extended sideline, I don't see an issue with that. I think especially with the sideline restriction, sometimes it when you're on the 25, it gets kind of tight around that area. So let the players go out a little bit further. The hydration breaks every quarter. It starts feeling like a college football game. But I don't mind that either. That's a great opportunity for kids to hydrate. One thing we did this year, every team was looking for a different way of hydrating. With football, there's 16 different guys in a rotation, and that's where, Erica briefly talked about how great it is to have managers. We had four managers here and three that were usually on the field, and it's just so crucial. We'd have a timeout, and I'd say, hey, O water or D water, and our manager crew would, all the kids have a water bottle with their name on it, and it was just super beneficial to do water that way. I don't know if we'll ever go back to just having 18 random water bottles for the whole team, but I guess we'll see what guidance is for that in the upcoming years. But I guess just more sanitation and just being aware of keeping things a little bit cleaner. And I think that goes a long way in making the locker room smell better and equipment smelling better as well. So, and you talked about playoffs. I thought playoffs were a great opportunity. There's a different feel going into, the last couple weeks of the season when instead of, maybe you had one or two district losses and, the kids you're looking at is, hey, we're not going to make the playoffs. You can still continue to build even if you lost a player for a couple of weeks or an injury set somebody back. It's very, very optimistic, and I think that's a really good thing for programs that are still trying to build and maybe haven't had a lot of success in the past that they have that opportunity to make the playoffs. And if they get they get in the right pod or if they get in the right side of the bracket that they can – eventually build and go a little bit forward.
So you guys end the season at 2-6, first round loss, over at Dyke New Hartford. again, a familiar team, and we didn't talk much after that. But let's work through the season here. Your team continued to build, but it was a strong district that you guys got into that continued to see teams go deeper into the playoffs. Talk through the season, talk through the playoffs, how the teams ended up, or your team.
Yeah. So, you know, we started off with a great home opener win against Northland, and, you know, we ran into some issues against Hudson where players quarantined, and we lost in an overtime game there. And then, you know, we run into district play. We played Denver, we played Osage, we played Waterloo Columbus, we played Central Springs. And, you know, we went in a, we had a losing streak of about four games there, and we lost four games by about 22 points. And so you're right under a touchdown per loss. And I think that speaks a lot about our guys and their ability to come out and compete. And, you know, in years past, that might have not been, you know, if we've had some negative results on Fridays, it was by more than one score. So being able to build off of that and then building on a huge homecoming win against Osage. And Osage got a win in the playoffs, and they played Waterloo Columbus really close last week as well. So some really great competition. Waterloo Columbus is still in it. As well, and they're one of the better teams in 1A, and I think they can make a pretty serious run going forward. And going up to play Dyke for our playoff game, and I know the score of 41-6 doesn't reflect on it, but at halftime we're at 20-0 with three attempts in the red zone. We're 0-3 there, and it could be a different ball game if we can convert a little bit more in the red zone. But you know, the cards were laid how they were laid, and couldn't be prouder of how our guys competed and responded to what our new normal was this year.
And then Eric had talked through, you know, looking at your season, and our conference is just ridiculous. You know, we talked every game that we were able to stream, and that was kind of a positive this year of being able to stream so many games on the sports network for Jessup. But I think every team was rated at one time or all the time through the nickel, and where you guys ended up. You know, towards the bottom of the conference, but that doesn't justify your season. And in 15 and 13 overall, talk through that. Just solid competition every time you're on the floor.
Yeah. So our conference is super, super tough. I believe that five of us made it to at least like the finals and regionals. So that attests to something, because I know that Sumner, Hudson, Wapsie, Dyke, Denver, Columbus, they were all like super, super close in the regional finals and things like that. So that just attests to how tough the conference really is. And I know that four of them made it to state. So that's pretty cool. Even in our regional final, we would have played two of our toughest conference matches or in regionals if we would have continued to play. So they would have been tough matches all the way through.
And then Nick, you look at how you guys ended up and you continue to build, and that was so much fun about watching our cross country. And you know, sometimes I saw the scores or saw them run early on, boys and girls. They were at where they're at, but they were doing what you need them to do, is get better meet after meet. Talk through that.
Yeah, the girls started off the season ranked very highly, and that's based off of last year's results and having Monticello go up to 3A, but they held their own as the number three ranking for the majority of the year. And then towards the end of the year, as they moved down to number six or number 10, we didn't necessarily falter. It was just, there's a lot of other teams racing fast around us. They were still winning meets. And that was the thing we talked about on the girls' side, is we need to practice winning meets and racing up front. And, I think they won at one point three in a row or four in a row with Denver Conference and our home meet. They won a few in a row, but the point was to practice winning and to build that momentum for districts and for state. At districts, we did get kind of upset by Starmont. They're a good team, but with a small meet like that, Starmont spread was able to get us. And then the girls have performed phenomenally at state the last few years and are always able to step it up on the big stage And this last Saturday, they did that, finishing fourth. The boys had a great season. I think being ranked as high as 11th at one point, or receiving votes for the majority of the season. And we just got a little too banged up. The season got a little too long for some of them. But I was very impressed with how they have taken kind of the next step of understanding how to compete and how to go after something like a state ranking or maybe a state qualification in the near future. Because that is a mental step and a physical step you have to take if you're going to make that happen. And I think they recognize the difficulty of that, but also starting to recognize what has to go into that in the months leading up to the season.
Yeah, girls second in O-line, first at Denver, first with the Jessup meet, cross-country, got the conference championship in there, the girls' side, third in the qualifier, fourth at state. Talk through the girls. Amanda, Claire, having a great day over at Fort Dodge. But, you know, you guys had some fun with it. You took quite a few people over to Fort Dodge to rally behind the team and end up celebrating a fourth-place finish as the girls. Talk through that.
Yeah, this the end of the year, we wanted to make it a little more extra than a normal year, I guess, with going through the season, getting to this point. We survived it. We got through. We had a couple of scares that we didn't know what would happen with the team. But so we made sure we got a hotel for the kids. We went down the night before, went out to eat, stayed the night. Adds a little fun, adds a little excitement to the trip. But we had a ton of fans come down, family, friends. We had grandparents. We had boyfriends, girlfriends. We had a lot of people coming down, and that's awesome to see. I think it definitely was our biggest group in the last few years. But on the day, the girls performed phenomenally. We had a race plan for all of them, and I would say they all executed that plan that we gave them. Amanda was to go out and race in the top five. She did that. She was racing third for the majority of the race, then just got by two girls at the finish. Claire ran like she had been down at the state meet a few times already, finishing ninth, but was in strong command of her position the whole way. Natalie did a great job using her experience from the past two state meets. She had her best race of the year. And then McKenna, as a freshman, ran really well. And Sydney Toma, first time at the state meet, ran a great race as our number five. Mara Moore started the season off slow, but her consistency paid off, and she was down there as our number six. And then Marley DeVore, this is her third time racing there now, and she ran great as well. So everyone was improved from the year before as a team. Placing-wise, our number one was better than our number one last year, number three, number five, number seven. Everyone placed higher than they did last year at that spot. So that was really cool to see.
And then talk to the boys. Nolan Evans getting his first run on that course. You know, talk about his comfortability, his level of focus as he got going through that.
Yeah, if you saw Nolan around the school the week leading up, I think he added a gold chain or a gold ring or watch each day that he was prepping for state. And he had a lot of confidence going into the weekend. And I think that showed through on Saturday. He didn't back down from the circumstances. It was all new to him, and he was pretty wide-eyed. When we got there, saying he was nervous, but he handled those nerves really well. And he had a race plan that he wanted to be top 20, and to finish 19th was awesome for him. He executed it and put himself out there.
All right. So as you end the season and move into next year, what's the big rock you've asked your teams to look at moving as you go into 21 season a year from now? And that is foreshadowing for the rest of the coaches to think about. Nick just gets 2 seconds to try and decide that.
For us, it's understanding that we are in the position we're in. We're in a very good spot. But for the girls, if we want to be a top three team, our off season has to be a little better. I think all of those teams ahead of us, you know, you look at their top seven, none of those kids probably missed a run in the summer. We are at 75-85% of all of our runs getting in. But if we can get to that 95, that 100%, we're a top three team. And for the boys to be a qualifier, we need to have a better off season. And I think they understand that. It's something we'll be talking about. They'll understand that those summer months are very, very important, just like they are for any fall sport. But if you want success in the fall, you have to start in June with a little dedication and a little time for your sport. And I think if we can do that, the boys will be a state qualifier and the girls can be a top three.
Well, give credit. You don't do it by yourself. Give credit to your staff. It really, really helps things happen too.
Yep. O'Connell's been here now. This is his fourth year. And we would not be in the position we are without him. He is a yin to my yang in a lot of ways with our training. And he's the marathoner. I'm the sprinter. And it's nice to meet in the middle. And then Betts, this was her second year, and she was exactly what we needed as a team to help in multiple ways, more ways than one. The girls call her the mom of the team, and she does an excellent job of filling all the gaps that we were falling short of. So without those guys, we would not be in the position we're at.
Well, Erica had the opportunity to also experience green power. Erica, talk through your staff and how things came up. And you had a new first-year assistant that we bring another green into the orange and blue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Aubrey was a great asset to us this year. She did such a wonderful job of adapting to my style, and then also we talked through a lot of what her style was too, and we were able to combine those and really put them together for the team. So I thought she just did a wonderful job stepping up for us, and it was great.
Well, Rock, are we moving for 21 as you rally your underclassmen to step up for next season?
So I definitely agree with Coach Green and the fact that our off season is going to be super important. We are really focusing on right now. We want the girls to either play other sports or be getting in the weight room even now. We want them to just continue to stay moving and continuing to stay sharp. We know some of our girls don't play any other sports, but we encourage them to do that. But if they don't, getting in the weight room and continuing to progress in those areas is going to be a really great thing for us. And just continuing to build on what we have so far. Jessup hasn't always been like the biggest volleyball school, so it's kind of nice to see some of these girls really getting into it.
Good. Coach Sauer, there's no greens left unless we get Nick's brother involved in the football program. But Coach Sauer, talk through your staff. It continues to evolve. New offensive coordinator this year too.
Yeah, so our staff all the way down from our middle school to high school, you have Coach Miller, Coach Stevens, Coach Sather, Coach Liske, Coach Aaron Shooting, and our middle school staff of Coach Schmidt, Coach Paul McCone, Coach Oshner, and Coach Sullivan. You know, there's a lot of guys with a lot of football experience on the staff. It's just very, during games where, especially during halftime on Friday night games, we have guys that have 10, 15 years plus collaborating on how do we pivot, what's our next move, and very, very thankful to have a staff with that much experience and willing to try to help kind of raise the bar on what we're trying to do here with our Jessup football program. And I would say the big rock that we're trying to move into 2021 would be are you committed or are you just going to show up? Coach Bass and Coach Green talk about how important the offseason is and was. And that's one thing we really saw, especially from a physical standpoint with injuries and anything else that in our preparedness for football this year is talking about what those behaviors of a committed individual are individuals who just show up. Are you showing up and just wearing the jersey or are you committed to improving this football program or improving our athletic program altogether?
Well, it's good that the jerseys finally showed up before the end of the season. So we'll get a chance to see the home blues here next year. Head football coach Tim Sauer, head volleyball coach Erica Bass, head cross country boys and girls Nick Green. Everybody, congratulations on the fall season, the success you've had. And Tim, as always.
It's a great morning to be a Jayhawk.
It's a great morning, great time to be a Jayhawk. Thank you all, and be safe. Looking forward to 21. All right, so we wrap up Jayhawks on the Move for our fall 2020 campaign. We'll look to try and continue some of this for our winter season as we'll talk to boys and girls basketball and wrestling and even maybe some of our other groups within our Jessup system. Maybe get a chance to talk cheerleading, talk booster club, band, music, that type of thing as we move through this. And Jayhawks on the Move. Start of the season brought to you by B&B Farm Store. And if you've visited to the website, that we have, and this is where we've got everything posted up there and archived, and I'm going to share my screen as we look through this, and you see a chance to come in here and get all the archived videos that are up there from Coach Green, Coach Bass, Coach Sauer, and early on, if you were on there, you had a chance to fill out a form, get a chance to win a $50 gift card from B&B Farm Store. So right now, what I'm going to do, these are the eight people that have the opportunity. I know, only eight, but eight took the chance all the way back from September 18th through October 1st. Melissa, Rodney, Kristen, Cheryl, Chad, Sean, Candy, and Stacy McCone. So we've got eight, and here's what we're going to do. This is the random thing. Of course, Google has everything that we get into. I've got eight, and we're going to spin this and see who wins the $50 gift card from B&B Farm Store. And it goes to number four. Let's go here. And Cheryl Reyes, $50 gift card, B&B. I will get in touch with you. We'll figure out how to get that to you. Career Branch Academy holding up a discovery workshop at Cowork 591 coming up next Tuesday, or this coming Tuesday, November the 10th. It's free. High school students, sophomores, juniors, seniors, invited to come out and see if we can find some clarity, find some direction with a career discovery workshop from Career Venture Academy. Go to nateclayburg.com and register your slot. Only 15 slots total, and I think I have five or six left. So if you got questions, you can drop it in the chat, send me a message, or go to nateclayburg.com. Everybody, thank you again for having joining us, Jayhawks on the Move. Everybody, stay safe. And go Jayhawks.
This is a Need 10 Media production.
Joe, good luck tonight.
Thanks, Scott.